Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I don't know. I don't mean to harp on the fact that the NFL draft is coming up Thursday. There's been weeks and weeks and weeks of talking about this, months of speculation. It's cooked. What is the most overcooked narrative as it pertains to the NFL draft? The pundits have gone wild, telling us what it means. You know, they've talked about Jaden Daniels and his size and his arm strength and what scouts are worried about.
Now listen, he did bulk up. He showed up at Pro Day at 210, which was something that, was positive in scouts' minds. But it's still, he's not the biggest guy.
So much talk.
So while Jaden comes in with all that momentum, right, perfect for today's NFL, he draws comps to Lamar Jackson. Herm Edwards says he's Randall Cunningham. I'll take both, right? Drake May did not have great momentum down the stretch. He had three games that left you kind of scratching your head. He had a really good 2022, lost his coordinator, lost his top receiver.
A lot of chatter, a lot of analysis.
I think he enters not only, you know, kind of as the heavy favorite here for the Bears in that big decision, which we'll have a chance to really jump into of all the different layers of that, which is going to kind of shape not only the draft, really kind of shape the whole offseason and the quarterback carousel that we're going to see. So
I know this, like you mentioned the game I have this weekend. I know a lot of people talk about Caleb Williams. Drake May is, to me, about as perfect of a prospect that I have ever seen in 15 years at ESPN. Like there are good quarterbacks coming out in this draft. You're going to have a bad team. I understand, you know, you re-signed Daniel Jones to a big.
Who are they talking about? I don't even know.
Here's what I love about Bo Nix. His feet. His schematic acumen, his intelligence. He's off the charts as far as a leader goes. He's
off the charts.
All the intel, and I'll kind of skip forward all of this, because Bo Nix is everyone you talk to in the league. Every mock draft you click on, and I've clicked on more this year because I'm, you know, I don't have a whole hell of a lot to do some days at this point, because I've already done the scouting reports and all that, and I'm not doing all the TV that I was in most years. So everything is Bo Nix to Denver. And I get it. Like, you do the Drew Brees, you do like the mobility. And I've even, you know, Kuiper and I were talking offline a few days ago, like last week. And he was talking to me about hand span and height and weight and rushing yards and all those things, comparing the two, Bo Nix and Drew Brees.
Hand span, for crying out loud. Hand span, Stephen Vaughn. That's where we are. RPMs, how hard can you throw the ball? Well, it'll all come to a culmination on Thursday in the NFL draft. But I'm ready for some real talk. Portland State's athletic director, John Johnson, announced today that he is hanging it up at Portland State. He has been on the job. He came to Portland State with, there was a lot of uncertainty at PSU. I think he's steadied that ship. I think it's a better job than the job he inherited. I think you got to give him credit for that. But he announced today, and I tweeted it out just before 10 a.m. this morning, that John Johnson was leaving Portland State. He's got some family issues. Here to talk about it, John Johnson himself joining us. I don't know if your hand span has been measured lately. We were talking about the NFL draft. But, John Johnson, the announcement today, what does that feel like for you to put that out there that, you know, you are not going to return, and you're going to hang it up?
Well, I think it's a little bit surreal for sure, but, sometimes curveballs are thrown at you and you got to catch them and try to hit them and adjust. And this was one of those, but it was really the right decision. And certainly had a terrific career in athletics. I'm not retiring per se. I'm going to do some other things, but just needed to be there to support family, which in our group is number one, both on my side of the family. And I was there when my parents passed at the ripe age in their 90s. And for my wife as well. So family first. It's kind of one of those things just came up, and so we're going to go do that and move forward from there. But really enjoyed Portland State, the Big Sky Conference. You know, I was lucky enough to start my career in the Big Sky, and I, you know, most likely ended my career in the Big Sky Conference as well. And just have a lot of love for it. I think there's a lot of changes that are going to go on in collegiate athletics. I think it needs to adjust and ebb and flow, and it has over the years. I think right now it's really important it does as well.
You're going to stay through the end of the month at PSU, and, you know, according to the news release, your wife, Lisa, there's some family health issues with aging parents on that side of it. I totally get that. You know, as I do this radio show, you know, Anna's 77-year-old father who's dealing with some health issues and has had a couple of surgeries recently that, you know, are serious things. I get it. I get it. And I get that importance. A lot of people lose their way, though. And so help me with that. Like, what is it about you or maybe this decision that kind of awakened you to, like, you know, hey, really, this is that, you know, your primary team has to be at home?
Well, I've one thing athletics teaches you, whether you're in a locker room or you're in a conference room or you're in the department office, is you're a family. You have your work family and your home family. And home family has to be number one. But I think number one is that it's really important that my children – have the ability to be by their grandparents that are only ones surviving at a time when, you know, they can be impactful and they can remember them in a positive sense. And I had that ability to be by my parents when they were at the end because they were in Spokane. I was at Washington State. That's why I stayed there a long time. I just think that's important. You can't lose that. Because that's the ground, that's the foundation that we're all built on is family and what we taught. And I just want, you know, the remembrance that, hey, we were there with them, we supported them, and you always have that to glom on to. And I remember Coach Sonny Lubick at Montana State, he always said, that which you gave, you shall always have. That which you kept, you've lost forever. So if you leave it all out there and give, you're going to get it back manyfold.
John Johnson with us, Portland State Athletic Director, announcing today that he will step down at the end of the month. The work that you did, let's talk about that. You walk in the door at PSU. Yeah. I think you can talk candidly. What did you encounter, you know, maybe that, you know, you now feel good about rectifying?
Yeah, I think, you know, coming in new, it was a transition. Many things happened beyond the control of the university. Number one, COVID. The rebound from COVID, I think it was a little slower on the West Coast than it was in other parts of the country. And I think that was a problem. And then, you know, just in general, declining demographic change to where, you know, Portland State University, as well as many other regional universities across the country during COVID and before, lost enrollment. And we're funded by enrollment at our universities, and COVID stopped that ability, and Portland State had been on that trend for a while. You know, that adjustment was difficult, but it was important, I think, when I came in. And then I think it was my first meeting with the president. He announced he was going to retire. Knew he wasn't going to be here forever, so we had that change. But a couple of months into my tenure, he said, hey, I want you to do a strategic plan, and I want you to figure out how to move forward with it. And I did that, and actually started it before I'd even gone to one of Portland State's athletic events, which is odd. So trying to answer questions in a vacuum a bit. But you know, put together a strategic plan, look at the futures report that was well done, and then just took that to the next level and looked at, did a complete Title IX review, 360, hadn't been done in many, many years. looked at NCAA, and they were looking at what does the NCAA Division I look like that is still in process. I did an evaluation, worked with SRO partners, John Spolstra's group that he started to, hey, what's the market? Do we have a market here? And what's our affinity? And found that. Also worked with our university foundation for data that, you know, and metrics to say, okay, this is what we can raise in money. This is what we can do. And then also look at, okay, what kind of opportunities do we have from a facility standpoint? But again, coming out of COVID and not really back on all of our feet and going 100% was difficult. I think the other part of it was, you know, about 25% of the athletic department staff positions were empty. And so it took us a while to hire people and get that done, but got a great staff here, great people. We're very competitive. We don't have the biggest budget in the league, but we compete way above our dollar amount because, number one, Portland's a great place, and we're in the recruiting hub, and we're very competitive. Also looked at what's the landscape of athletics look into the future. What's Division I going to look like, and what do we want to be as a university? And then the hiring of President Tudd, we announced her hiring, and then I completed the strategic plan right before her arrival, and she is just terrific. And she's going through her own strategic plan from a university standpoint, and is just going to be terrific and has a great vision and understands what Portland's like. And also, you know, I quite frankly understands, you know, the role of athletics and how athletics can help push universities forward.
What right now, in your mind, we're watching college athletics change before our very eyes. And, you know, what place does Portland State have in the ecosystem?
Well, and this has been debated, you know, once all the conferences fell apart. And we talked about when I was in the Midwest, you know, what happens with football, because FBS football was not under the auspices of the NCAA, it was under the conference offices. And we talked about, hey, let's keep football separate. Let's keep all the leagues as they are and compete under the NCAA model. But that didn't happen. And here's where I think it is. I think you're going to have, back in the 70s, and you'll have to look at it, and maybe the 60s, they had the college division and the university division. And I equate it to the semi-pro model and the collegiate model. And the collegiate model is those below the 70 largest funded programs, and we live by rules like we have the last 25, 30 years, and then let those others live by those other rules. And I think Portland State has a place in that. I think it makes sense. I think it's going to change over the next 5 or 6 or 7 years in how we look at it. It's going to be painful, going to be hard. But certainly, it's going to settle into where here, this is what it's going to look like, because we can't have 365 schools chasing each other, because there's different situations, different parts of the country, different focuses, et cetera, et cetera.
John Johnson, Portland State AD, it will be an interim athletic director, acting athletic director. Matt Billings will step in. Can you tell us a little bit about Matt Billings and you know, the immediate tasks in front of him, and then I'll let you go. I know your kids are running in a track meet, so I want to get you off to that.
Yeah, I got a little track meet going on at Rosemont Middle School. But, Matt Billings, a longtime veteran in collegiate athletics. I actually hired him at Weber State. He worked with me at Weber State years ago, and then he went on and was at Boise State and USC, and came here and then did a short stint as an interim or as an athletic director in New Mexico. But yeah, just a real veteran, internal guy, understands compliance, understands Portland State, knows the coaches, had worked with the coaches, worked here in, you know, until about 7 years ago. So he actually knows him better than I do in some respects, but he'll do a terrific job. We've been lockstep since we hired him a year ago on our strategic plan and how we're moving forward and how we're doing things. And I think that the biggest thing is that, you know, we just need to settle ourselves, you know, put our budget together for next year. Our schedules are done. Our strategic plan, wait for the university to complete theirs and just keep moving forward in our strategic plan and our Title IX review that's also part of our strategic plan as well to make the program better and look at ways to how do we grow the program in the ecosystem of Portland State.
Well, send your best, you know, send our best to your wife and take care of your family. And John Johnson, don't lose touch with us. Love having you on in the last couple of years and getting to know you a little bit and respect what you're doing here.
Hey, thanks so much. And hey, call me back. I'll come back and play your golf tournament.
Let's do it. All right. John Johnson. There he goes. The AD, Portland State. He's on his way out the door. Portland State says that they will hold and conduct a search. I don't think they need to hire a search firm. I really don't. Put together a small committee. Get people like Jim Etzel at Sport Oregon on that committee. Get people like Tim Boyle, Columbia CEO, on that panel. And I think there are several candidates that immediately come to mind that I think would be interested in the job. But I think the thing that Portland State needs to do with this next hire is it needs to hire somebody who knows Portland State. It's gone outside. New president, Ann Cudd, she needs somebody who has had some experience or up-close observations of Portland State. You don't want to go back out and hire somebody from out of market, somewhere else, bring them in. It doesn't work. We'll get deeper on that subject in the coming weeks. Now, Stephen Vaughn, prior to the show today, I had two guests I really wanted on to talk about the NFL. I wanted Randy Mueller, the former general manager of the Dolphins and the Saints, who is a consultant working with NFL teams to talk about, you know, the vantage point of a GM. The other guy that I wanted was NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger. Now, both of them got back to me. Mueller got back to me and said, I can come on at 5:24. I'll be in consulting with a team until 5 o'clock. Baldinger just hit me on via DM. He says he's off air with the NFL Network at 5 and could come on at 5:43. We normally don't do back-to-back guests because I like to have a guest on, then I like to talk about what the guest said. But given that you have the NFL draft on Thursday, Do you think we should get Baldy and Mueller on back-to-back in the 5 o'clock hour and just dive into the draft and the analysis and break it down and have the, you know, let's talk about these guys. You think we should go back-to-back in the 5 o'clock hour?
I kind of do because the NFL draft, like you've said, all show, like it really is the lifeblood of these teams. Like they will find guys in the 4th, 5th, 6th, undrafted, like, And these will be key contributors to really good teams. We saw last season, Rashee Rice, you know, second round pick. Like, who would have seen that coming, that he's going to be a star in the NFL? I think there's lots of guys out there that you can find. So I'm down with it, man. I'm down with talking some NFL draft an hour of three.
Let's do it. We'll ask Baldy. Why not have Baldy on the Bald Face Truth? Brian Baldinger at 5:43. We'll have him on then. And then we'll have Mueller on at 5:24. So we'll go back to back. And you know what that means, Stephen. It means I have to stay on time. Otherwise, we're gonna cheat Baldinger out of his segment. So we're going to have to be diligent with the 5 at 5. We're going to have to be diligent with the interview with Mueller. I'm going to have to stay on time, which I am currently running up against the clock right now as we speak. By the way, here's a question I have for you as a listener of this show. of the quarterbacks, we've talked about who has a chance to be the, maybe the best quarterback in this draft, but of the quarterbacks that people are talking about possibly going in the first round, five or six QBs, many as six, who, in your mind, has the greatest risk of being the biggest bust? Let's say they're all picked. 503-417-7575. You have the floor. You are the expert. There are no wrong answers. Who among the quarterbacks bantered about being picked in the first round, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy, who has the biggest chance to be the biggest bust in your mind? 503-417-7575.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.